6:34 on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer. Hey, good morning. Thanks a lot for being with us. Came across this at CNBC.com over the weekend. Piqued my interest so much, in fact, that I asked on social media for names of people in commercial real estate that might be willing to come on and talk about this. And several of you reached out and gave me different names. One particularly stood out as an authority on the issue. Mateen Hagar joins us, an administrator with RE/MAX Plus, residential and commercial real estate in our region. Mr. Hagar, thanks for your time this morning. Hi.
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Here's the headline. More big employers are talking about permanent work-from-home positions. Thousands of Americans waiting to return to normalcy. For many, that means not going back to an office. Working from home could be the new normal. CEOs, including Mondelez, Nationwide, and Barclays, all talk about a permanent shift to work from home and reduced office space. They go on to talk about companies like Gap and JCPenney struggling to pay rents in traditional mall spaces. And Carl Icahn, the hedge fund investor, Icahn, said shorting commercial real estate was among his best and biggest bets. So you're in that space, and I thought, I've got to talk to somebody in that space to find out what that means for the industry at large and all of these brick-and-mortar structures all over the country that maybe now sit vacant. What does that do to your business model?
Sure. So unfortunately, this article and a lot of these experts are, we believe, spot on, and we're actually seeing it more and more as time goes on. And unlike the stock market where, you know, you can turn on the news and you have a stock ticker at the bottom that's instantly going up and down, instant data, the real estate industry really is kind of on a little bit on a slower timeline where it takes time to see what rents are coming in, financing options available, effects of unemployment and rent numbers, all that stuff to see how it really affects real estate, unlike the stock ticker that is instantly changing. Now, there's obviously going to be short-term and long-term effects. Just like those guys said, I mean, this has been a trend for a long time now where brick and mortar is going out. Everybody's been hearing about it. Amazons are putting Walmarts out of business and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's slowly happening. And it's now where experts before said, okay, brick and mortar is going to start disappearing in 10, 20 years. It's starting to actually happen at a much, much faster rate because of everything that's going on with COVID. And, you know, short term, overnight, all of a sudden, all leases started to become negotiable. Rents are slowly not coming in. People are fearful of, you know, social distancing. All that kind of stuff started to affect everything. And then obviously the government's trying to do what they can with putting money back in the system, PPP, all that stuff to help everybody. But then long term, I think we're going to see a lot of industrial space kind of take off, flex space, where, you know, right now all these warehouses that are sending, you know, products, goods, services, whatever, you're going to see more people need those spaces versus traditional retail.
Mateen Hagar with us, the RE/MAX, one of the RE/MAX Plus administrators at residential commercial real estate in our region. And I wonder about all the kind of strip mall, smaller restaurant, smaller store spaces that may find themselves empty soon or already are. I'm noticing just looking around in my immediate area out in Chester County, I see retail space, fairly new, actually. I mean, built maybe in the last decade, that's empty.
Sure.
And doesn't look like a Toys R Us, for instance. I mean, that's not coming back. And who's jonesing to go jump into a big, empty Toys R Us building? What happens to those structures?
Sure. And I've actually, it's funny you mentioned Toys R Us, because before this conversation, I wrote down a list of places that you don't see anymore, Toys R Us, Circuit City, other places kind of disappearing that we all used to know. And like we talked about, everything going online. But, you know, thank God we have food delivery services now like Uber Eats and, you know, Grubhub and DoorDash and all those things that are really helping restaurants stay in business, where if the traditional mom-and-pop restaurant needed a busy street or street traffic or, you know, visibility to get business, now you need visibility on online websites like DoorDash and meal delivery services. So
Yeah. They're
really helping keeping them around. But the traditional, you know, commercial storefront space, that unfortunately is going to start, we definitely think, taking a huge hit. And places, a lot of places like WeWork, those shared office spaces. I mean, when you think about, you know, rents, they count for, okay, using the space and using the square footage to a certain amount, when you have to have 6 foot distance between people, how do you optimize your space and the use of that space, and how do you still get the same rent? That's going to be a big challenge.
Mateen, do people, I mean, ultimately, I don't know the financials of it. I mean, if I own a strip mall, let's say I'm a developer and I own a strip mall where a Toys R Us was and it just sits empty, I mean, in this environment, in this climate, is at some point, is it, I don't even know the costs on it. Is it more cost effective to just tear the thing down and sell the land, or still continue to hang on to it, try to rent it out somehow?
So that is a function of construction costs versus after repair value and what things are worth. So that depends on what the value is. If values plummet, it may actually cost you more to build that structure than the cost of the land, or vice versa, and the numbers won't work. So it's very challenging, and unfortunately, you are going to see some defaults, a lot of lease defaults. You are going to see some people not able to pay their mortgages. And with a lot of, I think what unfortunately a lot of mainstream America doesn't understand is, you know, the tenant is the bottom occupant, right? You have the tenant, and then you have the owner, and really the owner is the tenant of the bank, because most owners in this day and age have financing on their properties. Mm-hmm. So if they're not getting rent, they're not able to pay the bank, and it just has a ripple effect up and down. And, you know, we're just seeing that pendulum kind of go up and down and see, unfortunately, who's going to end up holding the tab on that, you know?
Yeah, I just really wonder, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Again, like I say, in the last decade, certainly 20 years, were a lot of kind of strip mall. The idea was the big shopping mall was dying. It had been dying. Everybody knew that.
Yeah.
But then you started going to the, right, the strip mall thing where you could drive up and park in front of the storefront you wanted to walk into. But even those now seem to be dwindling and falling off. And I just think about all these physical structures and guys like you who, I guess, ostensibly are trying to move them, right? Either lease them or sell them.
Yeah.
If nobody wants them, do they just sit there hollowed out and emptied? I mean, I'm just imagining the country littered with these empty buildings.
Unfortunately, we are going to see that more and more. And unfortunately, I do think they need to be somewhat basically repurposed. And that will happen naturally. It'll be a painful process. But they're going to have to see where the country goes, where the industry goes, what the new normal is, and there will be a natural shift, and there will be a repurposing of them, whether they become more mixed-use, more industrial, and I hate to say it, values going down, rent prices going down. It'll definitely just equalize and normalize with what's going to end up happening.
I guess that could make a smaller mom and pop maybe in the future if the economy starts to revitalize. Maybe, like you said, a restaurateur who maybe has a startup idea, maybe a retail space becomes appealing because it's less expensive now? Maybe?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And on top of that, you know, before, and I always like to give the case, and you said you're local from Chester County. I always like to give the King of Prussia Mall as an example, where everybody say, oh, malls are going out of business. What's happening here? How is the King of Prussia Mall still able to prosper and flourish and survive? And, you know, it seems like it's doing better than ever, even though traditionally we're seeing brick and mortar starting to slow down and disappear. And that's because that area and over there, that's like it's like a billboard. So, for example, places like Times Square, all those places, that retail, you know, they really don't care as much. They obviously care how many people shop there, but it's mostly for exposure, basically having a big billboard in a high traffic area. So depending on even now, okay, you know, with social distancing, if there is no traffic, then those things are all going to be affected more and more, and they're not COVID-proof either. So we're definitely going to see, unfortunately, across the board, rents, prices kind of slowly go down a little bit, especially on that sector, but there will be a repurposing. There will be more mixed use. There will be more flex space, industrial, anything that has to do basically with logistics. You know, it'll be more in use. So I think they're going to just be a little bit repurposed, not necessarily just sit and get abandoned. You know,
Mateen, do you think? I mean, when I look at buildings like the Comcast building, you know, they built that huge second tower that just opened last year, and I think to myself, if you had it to do all over again, and you could look at a crystal ball and forecast COVID-19. Would you still build the massive mega high rise or not? I mean, are those thousands of people that work on those two high rises going back to work? Do you need all that space now, given the way we're looking at maybe people don't want to, or they don't need to, or they can work from home? I know that's maybe a bigger question than a realtor question, but do you have a thought on that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I really do think that those spaces will become more mixed use. And, you know, and different types of mixed use, so we think mixed use. So with a building like that, give you an example of the Comcast building, that might become repurposed as partly residential, part office, and mixed with various purposes, logistics, warehouse space. It sounds crazy to have warehouse space in a high rise, but maybe not if it's sitting empty. And right now, you know, like we talked about, it has been a trend for a long time, people working from home. I mean, it actually, and you know, with Zoom and JoinMe and RingCentral and all these voice over IP systems that have been around for a while, now people are really starting to see the highest value in them and really optimizing the use where, you know, it actually makes sense where, okay, using a remote working system like a Zoom meeting or whatever, it's so much cheaper to do that than to have office space and have conference rooms and have all those resources and extra overhead that wasn't necessarily necessary. So with that said, I think, you know, combining that with all this extra space that was built that maybe was not necessary because we had all these technologies is going to really start to bleed through and change.
Amazing. It's an amazing story that I don't think has been fully unpacked yet, Mateen, but I really appreciate your perspective. I hope we can have you back on issues like these as they pop.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on, Chris.
That's Mateen Hagar, an administrator, RE/MAX Plus, residential and commercial real estate here in the Philadelphia area.